How about now? Hey, good morning. All right, we did want to take some time this evening to highlight not only our youth ministry, but some of our college students that have been serving abroad and here in the States as well. And I want to give you just a taste of what God has been doing in several hearts of our young people. And so thankful for your prayers, thankful for your support. Many of these trips and things we would not have been able to go on had it not been for the faithfulness of our church family praying and giving as well through fundraising and things like that. So thank you so much. It is our privilege to serve in the youth ministry here. My wife and I are so thankful for the opportunity to serve alongside of a lot of great families, and I'll introduce some teenagers here in just a minute, but first wanted to kind of give you an overview of the evening. We call our youth ministry Truth Ministries, and we emphasize the fact that it is a youth ministry and not a youth group. Our desire is not simply to come together and have a good time and go home. If that's what we're doing, we are just simply spinning our wheels. It is our desire to minister to those who we are in the midst of, whether we're on a ski slope or whether we're knocking doors. We should have gospel tracts on us and be ready to tell others about Jesus Christ. And so thankful for the hardworking teenagers that are represented in this group tonight. Many of them have worked hard to be able to earn points to go on like the ministry trip and things like that, and so forth. So again, just want to give you a little taste of what God has been doing, and we're praying that God will continue to do that in our youth ministry. And again, just a few highlights like we gave this morning. Thank the Lord for our Bible clubs that are going well, off to a good start. We have started back at Ridgeview. We had 34 kids this last Thursday. So if you have a child that is in at Ridgeview School, that club meets at 8 o'clock in the library every Thursday. Our club at Gray has not started back yet. We're still waiting to hear from the principal there. Daniel Boone High School has started back. So if you have a student that goes to Daniel Boone, please encourage them to attend Truth Bible Club in the Little Theater during their lunch period. We also had 34 kids there, and we're looking forward to seeing what God's going to continue to do through that ministry. Here in about 2 weeks at Daniel Boone High School, we will have our pizza day that we do twice a year. And through that, our desire is not to give a bunch of pizza out, but to give the gospel out. Pizza helps to get people there under the sound of the gospel. So you understand why we're doing this, and we've seen a number of souls saved through this ministry, and we're looking forward to seeing what God's going to do. I'm going to go ahead and ask Victoria Radford to come. She's going to share a testimony as she's coming. Right after her, Maddie Rourke's going to come and give a testimony down here on the floor so she doesn't have to trip over her crutches as she's coming. So Victoria, you come and share your testimony with us this evening.
Okay, so as he said, I'm Victoria Radford. For those of you who do not know me, I had the privilege of going to this ministry trip this year to Alpharetta, Georgia, and work with Vision Baptist Church down there. This year's mission trip was very different from the past ones I've been on. This year, it was really to focus on missions. We had several sessions with different missionaries, just pouring out their hearts to us and why they do what they do. We experienced different cultures from right here in the U.S. We got to go to a mosque, a Buddhist temple, and a Hindu temple to really try to understand what they believe, but not only what they believe, but why they believe it. It was really sad to see... It was really sad to see that this even existed here in the States. I was honestly blinded to this. I've been out of this area, but I'd never seen it this intense before. It was just really eye-opening to see how much of a need there is outside the world. If it's already this big here, then how much bigger is it out there? And we see people that may be dressed up in full Muslim garb and stuff, and you think, oh, that's scary and stuff, but they're honestly some of the sweetest people you'll meet. And we got a witness to several people like that while we were down there. And we don't always understand where they're coming from and why they believe what they believe, but they've grown up without their whole lives, where some of us have grown up with the gospel our whole lives, and that's all we ever heard, so it was kind of easier for us to lean that way. But for them, it's a whole new ballgame. They've never heard this before. They don't understand, you know, who's this Jesus? Most of them don't even believe in Jesus. So that was just really sad to see. And then... whenever you actually put yourself in that scenario and you're actually seeing it with your eyes, it becomes more real because you can read about it, you can just hear from missionaries, but when you're actually there, it makes it more personal. The most eye-opening thing on the trip for me personally was at the Hindu temple. They took us in and up to where all the idols were. And as we were standing there, the tour guide was talking to us about the mosque. And everyone, like, as you looked around you, you could see people bowing down and actually worshiping these idols. And that was just sad. And honestly, that was the most eye-opening thing. Because just to see how devoted they are. And sometimes Christians aren't even that devoted to reaching them. And we kind of just forget about them. And so the Lord just broke my heart about taking the gospel to the lost, especially the Hindu people, and just how we need to have a willing heart. Brother Tolson down there, while we were down there in Georgia, he told us that we should, normally us Christians have the mindset of, oh, I'll stay here unless the Lord wants me to go. But we need to have the mindset, I'll go unless you want me to stay. And so the verse that's been on my mind lately is Isaiah 6:8, which says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. So just what I want to leave you with is, are you truly willing to go? If God was to call you to the mission field, would you be willing to go? Thank you.
Thank you for that. As Maddie's getting ready, Brother Eugene Radford, if you want to come on up to the platform and have a seat up here. And like Victoria mentioned, a little bit different trip this year. We got to see a lot of different things, and we'll explain a little bit more. But Maddie's going to share her testimony.
So as he said, I'm Maddie Rourke, and this was my first mission trip, so I didn't really know what to expect about all of it. And I grew up being taught about the importance of missions, but it wasn't until this trip that I realized how oblivious I was. The Lord had been working all throughout the week, but when I watched a man literally on his face bowing down to an idol right in front of me, my eyes were opened. I remember after that, Mr. Tolson asked us, who's going to tell him? Who's going to tell him that what he's bowing down to is completely hopeless? Who's going to tell him about Jesus? Seeing and experiencing that on this trip changed everything. It changed how I thought about missions. It changed how I pictured lost people. It even changed my plans. Going into the week, I had my plans in mind. Coming out of the week, God showed me his. Being a part of this trip blessed me in more ways than I could count, and I can't wait to see the plans God has for all of us who went. I'll finish with the theme end quote from the book, A Thousand Lives, and it was kind of the theme of the trip as well. If not you, then who?
Amen. I want to say thanks to the church, because it's always a privilege to be able to go with these teenagers, those of you who are parents, and I kind of have both sides of this, but those of you that are parents, they entrust your kids to us to be able to travel with them and be able to invest in them. It is truly a privilege to be able to watch, especially as we've watched many of these grow in the Lord over the last several years that we've been here. We've had the privilege to serve beside Brother Bob for 8 years now, and it is truly God's gift. And I can't say to you all enough how blessed we are to have a youth director that loves our kids. This man loves our kids. And I know it's probably easy to look at a situation like this, and I know as we were going, each day we had a time where we had hearing of God's word, and we had preaching to us in the morning and teaching to us in the morning, and then we had a time to see what was going on. And as Victoria mentioned, we went to a Muslim mosque and a Buddhist temple and a Hindu, it wasn't really a temple, a minjab, I believe is how you say that, which was just mind-boggling that this existed in Atlanta, Georgia. And then we had a time to serve where we went out and we got to go to Chinatown one day and in the middle of Atlanta, Georgia, tell people how Jesus loves them. And tell people who, honestly, in Atlanta, Georgia, did not know the name of Jesus. And we just think around there, and the one thing I thought about a lot this week is how unfair life is. It's unfair that I got to hear the gospel over and over before I surrendered to God. And there are people around this world who have never heard the name of Jesus. Even in my own family, I've been asked several times, why do we spend so much focus outside of this world? My normal response is usually, how unfair is it for us to tell somebody again when there's people who have never heard? Now, God commands us to go everywhere. And the one thing that really struck in my heart this week is, as we were listening to these men of God that would teach the gospel each day and teach us how to share the gospel and teach us about the need around, was the fact that there are 1.8 billion Muslims around this world. There are 1.4 billion people in the country of China alone. There are 1.2 billion people in India. And that's just three people groups of the 7 billion people on the face of this earth. We shared with the teenagers this morning there in Pathfinders that we often think that our primary duty in life is to glorify God, and we are to glorify God in all we do. But the moment we got saved, we could go to heaven and glorify God for all eternity. But he left us here on a mission. When I read the book, A Thousand Lives, and Brother Tolson and several other missionaries we met this week were there, had contribution to that book. But the one thing that really changed the way I think was a passage written by one of the brothers there that had to do, he related it to what happened in the United States during World War II. And I've grown up with a great military history, was something I'm very proud of, and I've heard the stories, but I also heard the stories as my grandfather shipped out, the sacrifices my grandmothers did here when they planted freedom gardens, and they had gas rations, and they went into the factories to build. We have a war going on today. And if we're going to remain on the home front, and if it's not our mission to enlist and go to a foreign land, what sacrifices are we making here to empower the army of God who is going to these foreign lands? Faith Promise is a wonderful way to do that, but there's so much more. And probably the two most meaningful things on this entire trip to me was, one was a message. And in the message, he preached 10 ways to avoid the call of missions. As a parent, I think about that. If I can keep my kid away from God's word, I'll keep them close to me. They won't go to missions. If I can keep my kid away from missionaries, they won't go to missions. So oftentimes that's how we approach life. But if we get in God's word and we get our kids exposed to the right kind of people and we get ourselves exposed to the right kind of people, who knows what God will do with our lives. And then finally I'll close and say the other thing was a time of prayer. On the last evening we were there, we gathered around and we had a time of fellowship, but then we got serious with God. And we broke up into groups. And each group had a map of the world in front of them. And each group took the world and prayed for every country in the world. And I got to admit, when we first did the first round at my table, we were praying for Australia and Asia and Europe. It was kind of awkward at first because we had a group of adults and teenagers there praying. And it was, I surrender my life, take my life, Lord. It was. I pray for the country of Australia. Please bless the people of Australia. And then that second round, God started bringing missionaries to our minds. And it was, please, Lord, bless these specific missionaries. Be specific about them. Help them see souls saved. And as we went round after round after round, praying for God to make a great movement in this world, God just got real in that room. He showed up in just a prayer meeting.
Amen. Thank you for that. Appreciate all those testimonies. I'm going to go ahead and introduce the video, man, if we'll get ready for that. And if somebody could go ahead and cut the house lights as well, that'd be great. Again, just to give you a small taste of what the Lord has done through this trip. A couple of them mentioned, we went to a mosque, a Buddhist temple, a Hindu temple. You say, whoa, why? What in the world? Why are these kids going there? Obviously, you can tell some eyes are opened and some hearts are open as well. And we were not there to participate in what they were doing, simply to observe. And we know that our eye affects our heart. And many eyes were affected, but more importantly, hearts were affected. So video's just around 10 minutes or so. We can go and start that at this time.
Buffalo Ridge, Mark Tolson, your missionary to China, and I just wanted to make a quick video and say thank you for sending the group down here. Not only did I get this awesome t-shirt, but we had a wonderful time with them down here. We were able to go and see a lot of the world right here from Atlanta and really get a burden for the world, and we're just praying that God uses this week in the lives of your people, and that they will be more challenged to go reach the world with the gospel. And just as you pray with us, that they will, that God will use this week to really impact their lives and make a lasting impact as they return and see more missionaries sent out.
I love dumplings.
All right, we're here with missionary Mark Tolson at a Buddhist temple, and Mark's going to explain just really quick why we're bringing the group to each of these places.
We're bringing them here really just to give them a worldview and let people understand that there's people all around the world that believe like this, that believe in idols, and not only is it right here in our backyard, but it's really just a small representation. As they said here, their main temple is over in, was it in India or
Tibet?
Tibet. And so it's really just to show that this is what a good majority of people around the world believe, and just really give a heart of compassion so that they can understand and hear the truth about Jesus.
Thank you.
is engulfed in the experience using chopsticks. Anybody else use chopsticks?
All right.
How many of you go with the stab approach?
How many of you
go with the shovel method?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got pork, dumplings, specialty green beans, tomato and eggs, little potatoes, and the best rice.
Rice, all right. Judah, what's your favorite so far?
Green beans and rice.
I love dumplings.
Followers and practices are deeply rooted throughout the world.
My name is Nathaniel Francis. This is my wife, Miranda, and we're church planting missionaries with Vision Baptist Church for the country of China. And we've really enjoyed having the youth group here from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Really enjoyed getting to see their heart for the Lord. We're praying and asking God that the Lord will really work in their hearts and maybe call some of them to be missionaries for Him.
Hello, my name is Justice Mize. My wife and I are church planting missionaries to the country of Nepal. And I'd like to ask you to please consider praying and consider what you can do to reach Nepal, because it's a country of 30 million people. The capital city has 5 million people living in it, and there's only 5 Bible preaching churches that preach the gospel there. 5 churches for 5 million people, that's not enough. And so please pray and consider what you can do to help reach Nepal with the gospel.
Excuses, and then you're going to just prepare yourself to do what God has for you to do.
Well, my name is Jeff Bush. My wife and I served as missionaries in Argentina for many years, and now we serve as the director of Vision Baptist Missions. And our goal is to recruit new missionaries and to encourage, equip, and help those missionaries that God has given to us. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon, without a doubt. And that means that we only have a small portion of time to do the work of God before he comes back. Thanks for praying for us. Thanks for what you're doing for the gospel, to get the gospel out. God bless all of you greatly.
That phrase at the end, as many have said already, was at the end of Brother Mark Tolson's book called A Thousand Lives. I'd encourage you, if you don't have a copy of it, something we gave out at Mission Conference, please see me. We'd like to get a copy in your hand. But at the end of each chapter, the challenge, if not you, then who? So many times, honestly, we make so many excuses about things, but there's a world that's lost and dying and on their way to hell, and we need to do our part to reach them with the gospel. So we're going to go ahead and have a few more testimonies at this time. So Caleb, if you'll come, Caleb Harless, and then Brother Jeff Roten, if you'll make your way on up here and have a seat on the platform as well. Thankful for these who are willing to share some testimonies tonight, and Caleb's going to share his testimony.
Like you said, my name is Caleb Harless, and this is my third ministry trip, and honestly, it was a lot different than the rest I've been on. I live in a small town that's got like 5,000 people, so when I went to Georgia, I was really surprised. And I didn't know if I was going to get to go because my uncle got diagnosed with cancer the day, about a week before, and he died the day before I left. But the Lord still worked through and was allowed me to go, and the Lord continued to work that whole week and got me through. Like a lot of them have said, that when we went to the temples and stuff, we saw a lot of them worshiping idols. And it was so sad and yet so sobering to see that these people were more devoted to something that's not real. And yet Christians, that we know that we have the gospel, we know that we have salvation, we know we're going to go to heaven, and they're more devoted than we are. We're supposed to be faithful. We're supposed to be servants and to go. The Lord had never touched me in the heart of missions, but I can guarantee you if he was to call me right now, I'd go. 3 years ago, the Lord had been leading me to go to the youth ministry, and we had a short talk with it on the trip, and many people encouraged me, do whatever you need to serve the Lord right now and do whatever. And another thing that really touched my heart was the praying over the every country. We literally prayed over every country in the world and different missionaries in the countries that we knew. There was a lot of countries I didn't even know existed, people that I didn't even know that couldn't get the gospel. In the Muslim world, there's 1.8 billion that are Muslim. That's 1.8 billion that are going to hell that don't know Christ. And yet here we are, sitting here, getting here over and over and over again. But this, we started something 2 weeks ago about, it's a team-led mission prayer meeting for the missions. And it's really touched my heart because when we were down there, Mark Tolson emphasized it many times that if not you, then who? And the Lord really blessed me with the story that Brother Bob shared when he was in the youth department, when he remembered seeing Mr. Mark Tolson with his youth pastor asking him, Mark, are you scared to go? And Mark said, I'm scared not to. And I just want to thank the Lord for letting me have the opportunity to go.
For those of you that don't know me, I'm Jeff Roten. My wife, Becky, is in the back serving. But, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to go on this mission trip, and I appreciate the invitation by Brother Bob asking my wife and I to go on this mission trip. And to be honest with you, Brother Bob, as time got close, there was a lot going on in my life and just busy at work and things like that. And I really did not want to go, but, I was committed and I saw that through. And I am so thankful that I went. And it was a blessing to spend time with these teenagers and then just watching them grow through the week. And one thing that I would say is if you got teenagers here, this is a great opportunity to get them out and get them away from church, get them away from our community, and just let them see the world, because your teenagers, for those of you that your teenagers went, your teenagers was challenged. They were challenged in a mighty way, and I was challenged. My wife was challenged. And one of the things that really, as Mark Tolson, he would teach these lessons, missionary lessons, each morning and some in the evening. And one of the verses that really stuck out with me was 2 Peter 3:9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." Lots of times we are stuck in our own little world, our own little circle of influence, and we don't think outside that circle of influence. And one of the things that God really spoke to me, we know that God hates sin, and that one day God's judgment is coming to all people. Whether you believe it or not, God's judgment is coming. But you might ask the question, why hasn't he already come? Well, the answer is because God is long-suffering. And aren't you glad of that? God is long-suffering. And God is love, and he loves sinners. And his, one of the things, as Brother Eugene said, there's 1.8 billion Muslims out there. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked dying. He wants to see the wicked turn from their evil way and to live in Christ Jesus, to accept Christ as their Savior. And one of the things that really spoke to me was we've been entrusted with the gospel. And the question that really challenged me, what am I going to do with that? And I guess the challenge that I'm challenging our church and each one of you individually, those that have accepted Christ as their Savior, what are you going to do with that? God hasn't entrusted you with the gospel. How are you going to go and take that to a lost and dying world?
Thank you, Brother Oten. Appreciate that. Again, thank you for these testimonies. We're going to switch gears a little bit, and again, a few of our college students, Elizabeth Radford, if you'll make your way up here, and also Brother Bobby Brown. He is not a college student, although he could pass for one, right? I'm just kidding. Brother Brown's going to come representing his daughter who went to Poland. But first, Elizabeth Radford's going to give a testimony about her summer in Spain.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Radford. I am going into my junior year at Pensacola Christian College, and I'm actually studying pre-law, which was a bit confusing for most people this summer because they're like, okay, then why are you here? And to sum it all up, I went to help a church. The family I went to work with, their names are the Pinyals. They are a national missionary serving in Catalonia, Spain. They're serving in the town of Castellbisbal. They actually came here when they were college students, and they were trained in the States, and then the Lord called them back to Spain. Pastor Pinyal told me originally, he was like, "Lord, of all the places you could send me, why send me back to my people?" But they're really just doing a great work there. It's a different missionary field in Spain. It's not the same as going to pretty much any of the other countries you usually think of. It's a lot about building relationships, which is what a lot of missionaries do. But they're the people, they're either atheists or they're Roman Catholics. There's pretty much no in-between there. There's a lot of just people saying, no, I don't want that. And so they basically just take the time. They see people in the streets, and they sit down, and, you know, they may sit down, drink a cup of coffee with someone, and then go down another road and drink another cup of coffee with someone else. And So that's how they do it over there. They make relationships with people and show them that they're different, the love of Christ that's in them. Pastor Pinyal is one of the most energetic and just joy-filled people I've ever met. And I told him, he gets very little sleep. And so I always told him, "Pastor, I don't know how you're so happy all the time. You sleep so little." And I said, I guess it's a combination of the joy of Jesus and the 5 cups of coffee you drink a day. So definitely, it was great. But it was just amazing getting to learn from him. He took a lot of opportunities to just sit down and explain how missions works in Spain, their field, their heart for the people they're serving with, and just how it's different. And lessons of just, he would say, you know, I wouldn't tell you this normally, but I want you to learn a lesson from this. And so it was amazing just getting to serve under that family. They were such a blessing in my life. I got to do a lot of different things. I did teach English some. A group from my college actually came at the end of my trip, so we had a week of English, which was a huge blessing. They have a lot of doors that open for the church that week because of the classes. So that was a huge blessing to get to see. I also spent my first week at camp as a counselor overnight, which was a big experience. I was so nervous going into it because my family will tell you, I don't do well with lack of sleep. And anybody who served as a camp counselor will know, you don't get much sleep. And so I went into it a little nervous because, like I said, it's about building relationships. But that was kind of in the middle of my trip. And so I'm starting to learn more and more Spanish, but I'm still struggling quite a bit. And the kids, you know, are nervous. They're kids. And you know, you have teenagers, too, who want to look macho. And so you're like, okay, I'm nervous. And as the week went on, the Lord just kept opening doors and doors because, you know, I couldn't make small talk with them like some other counselor might. And so just I had to wait for the doors that the Lord would open just to have opportunities with these kids. I had one girl in my cabin. Her name was Preslava. She's originally from Bulgaria, and she was probably my greatest blessing on the trip because she came from a very difficult home, and all the counselors knew that, so we had been praying extra hard all week for her. And I texted Brother Bob and my dad and a couple of my friends here in the States the night before last of camp, and I just said, you know, I have these two campers in my room, and the Lord just placed them on my heart. And I know one of them is just so close. She's had such a hard life, and she's just so close. She was so broken. And like I said, with my Spanish, I tried to do the best I could all the time. The kids knew that I wanted to learn, and I wanted to practice. And so I that night, I had a conversation with her for a long time in English. And I just try to go slow, even though I talk very fast, obviously. But the Lord just gave me that time with her. And then another counselor came and talked to her again. And so I texted them. I said, just please pray. She's so close. And so I just kept praying all the last day. And the last night, I had an opportunity. So I tried this time in Spanish. And she was just so broken. And once again, another counselor came along afterwards. And the counselor had to leave for other reasons, and I was telling one of our counselors, I was like, hey, do you know what ended up happening with that? She was like, oh, you didn't hurt? She got saved. And it was just, I just burst into tears because she was so broken. And instantly, I knew something had happened because instantly there was this joy on her face that she hadn't had all week. She was, you know, a very polite, a very helpful child, but She had something missing, and just after she got saved that night, she was almost like a completely different child. She has such a smile on her face, and that was my hugest blessing of the whole trip. It was a blessing to get to serve at the Pinyals and to get to see the country of Spain. It's a beautiful country, but just knowing that this little girl is now going to heaven, I mean, it was worth the whole summer just for that. We had 7 other kids who also got saved over the time I was there between camp and VBS, and it was just a huge blessing. Pastor Pinyal kept using this verse and other verses like it while I was there, and it's Galatians 6:2, bury one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's what the main lesson I took away from the Pinyals was. We have to lift each other up. We have to come alongside each other and help and just bear each other's burdens. And that's how we labor together in the Lord, striving together. I just want to end by just thanking Brother Bob because I told him when I was there, if it wasn't for opportunities that I had while I was in the youth group, if it wasn't for this man sitting on the platform, my father too,
I wouldn't have been in Spain this summer. Just the opportunities that Brother Bob has given me to serve by the youth group, some of the opportunities that I guess you could say he forced me into sometimes. He said, hey, do you want to do this? You're going to do this. Which I was very thankful for, because especially when you're on, you know, on a mission trip, you know, sometimes you got to do stuff that you're uncomfortable with, whether it's getting up in front of kids and leading songs, or, and sometimes it feels better knowing, because you're like, oh, I've done this, you know, 5 times before. It's okay. I'll be okay. I'll make it through it. It was a huge blessing just to get to use some of the skills that he's taught me and that my parents have taught me and that I've used on other trips and get to use it over there. So I want to thank him and Miss Lindsay and just the influence that they've had on my life. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. As Brother Brown comes, I'll never forget, while Elizabeth was in Spain, my wife and I received a text after this young lady had gotten saved that said, uno mas. One more. That young lady had gotten saved. What great blessing that was.
I know one thing. Some of our young people are gifted. I do not think I could have gotten up here at that age and done as well as they have done. I am representing my daughter tonight. She spent the summer in Poland. She is not able to be here tonight. She is traveling. But she wishes she could have been. This is her second summer that she was able to spend in Poland. She spent it with the Colt family, Chris and Mariah Colt. They are missionaries in Jaworzno, and I just butchered that. It's about an hour outside of Krakow. They've been there about 10 years. And what Elizabeth said about building relationships, that's how they began their ministry. And they began it by starting a preschool. Preschool is, you know, everybody wants their kids educated and educated well. And so they were able to open up a preschool. And the folks in Poland, like a lot of other European countries, they like for their children to be taught English by an American teacher. Now, I'm not sure they were ready for hillbilly, but... So Lakin has had the opportunity to go over twice and teach over there. What they have done, the preschool, is a ministry tool, but it's also an income tool. Helps them support their other ministries, which is a church, and is also a camp. And so she had the opportunity to work in two of those. She worked in the preschool, and she also worked in the camp. So I'm going to flip through just a couple of pictures. If you think Poland, I did not really think a beautiful place until I learned more about it and the places she was able to go. It truly is a beautiful country with a powerful history, a fiercely independent people. They've been beat up on both sides by the big brothers, the Germans and the Russians, and they are a fiercely independent people. So Krakow is a beautiful city. You can see a couple more pictures there of Krakow, and I'm sorry, I don't know what river is what or what flower is what. Warclaw is a close by city. The camp that they are in is up in northern Poland. So Camp Kopenika, and I guess y'all can pronounce that as well as I can. But they spent, it's about a 5 or 6 hour drive north of where they were serving is where the camp is. And this is them serving in the camp. They have various activities for the kids. It is primarily geared to teenagers. And it truly is a slow relationship-building time with the people in Poland. They're very sweet people, but they're steeped in Catholicism. And they do not readily accept outsiders, but as you build the relationship, many people have come to know the Lord. So this camp is a big, big tool for them to be able to do that. She served in the Genesis preschool. That is the name of the school there, and there she is with some of the little children there. She almost looks like one of them. So... But she had a wonderful time, and thank you so much for those of you who supported her in going. That was as much a blessing to her as anything. So I will read her letter, and then we will be able to move on here if I can read this. From Lakin, thank you all so much for your prayers and financial support for my internship this summer in Poland. 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to intern at a preschool in Jaworzno, Poland, as an English teacher. And this summer, God opened the door for me to return to the same ministry. For the last 6 weeks, I have been living in the preschool and teaching English in each of the four classes. The preschool is ran by Chris and Mariella Colt, a missionary couple who are using the school as a means of outreach in the community. They also have just started a church and run two camps every summer. I was able to help with their second camp in the summer up in northern Poland. I'd like to share with you what God has been teaching me while I was living in Poland this summer. This particular trip was unique because I was not part of a mission team and not on a typical mission trip. Instead, I was simply living in the country and experiencing daily life. It was wonderful to watch God work, not in just the big events and outreaches that we normally associate with summer ministry, but also in the ordinary mundane days in between. For instance, the speech therapist at the preschool, an unbeliever, has begun asking questions about the faith of her co-workers. This is the local American teachers, the American teachers that would come there and serve. And the girl that she's talking about was from Poland. It reminded me that serving God is not something that should be reserved for mission trips, revivals, weeks at camp, and VBS. It is something that belongs in our normal lives among the people that we see every day. As I mentioned, I also helped with a week of camp. Going into the week, which came at the end of my time in Poland, I was ready to go home and less than eager to spend a week as the only American with people that I did not know in a place that was less than comfortable. She knows no Polish. But God quickly convinced me that my attitude... convicted me of my attitude and began to change my perspective. He graciously provided me with helpful and generous friends that made the week much easier. And the change in the schedule gave me the time to get into His Word and strengthen my relationship with God. She closes with a couple of prayer requests. There is Isa, who is the speech therapist for Salvation, Greg the handyman. Several campers left unsaved. They did have a Salvation while they were there. The Colts are working for or begun a new church, and they're looking for campsites for both camps next Sunday. And then the Suliks, who have a church in Krakow, some missionaries from the States, they're actually out of Brother Stephen's church in Charleston. And lastly, the camp director was on his way to camp, had an accident, and he ended up with a broken back, and that's tough for the camps, but he also supports several of the independent Baptist churches in that area. He's over the youth there, so that role will be difficult for them to fill. So thank you all very much for the support of Lakin, and thanks for the opportunity to share.
All right, thank you, Lakin. All right, Elizabeth Farmer is going to come and share a quick testimony about her time at Joshua Camp at West Coast Baptist College. And we got to see this girl working hard and up late and making breakfasts and all that kind of stuff. So she's going to share her testimony.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Farmer, and this summer I had the opportunity to go back to Lancaster, California for a few weeks to serve as a counselor at Joshua Camps, which is run by my school, West Coast Baptist College. This summer, I struggled, honestly, as what I wanted to share with you guys. But first of all, I thought I should say I didn't want to go. I got to the airport, and I told Mom, I was like, I don't want to go because in my mind, all these thoughts were racing was, how am I going to minister to these kids? They're just a few years younger than me. They're struggling with so many things. One of my girls, she shared that she had suicidal thoughts with me. One of my girls, she saw her mom killed in front of her. Like, how do I minister to girls like that? I have no idea. But God really just worked, and there's no other words to describe it other than it could never have been me. It was really God. It was just one of the things that in order it really stretched me and getting closer to God, like mentally, physically, spiritually. It was nothing of myself, like completely had to be drained. It was just Him. I had the opportunity to see one of my girls saved that week. It was a huge blessing, as one of them as well surrendered to missions. Something God really spoke to my heart about those 3 weeks was the girl that I was at camp, the one that was staying up till 2 in the morning counseling, the one that was waking up 4 hours later and still having to have a smile on my face and serve all those girls. That's who I'm supposed to be all the time. As Christians, that's who we're always supposed to be. We're always supposed to share Christ's love. We have the ability, we have the opportunity to minister to others. We have the opportunity to take a stand for Christ. He wants to do that with me just as much as when I'm here at home, when I'm back in school in California, as when I was a counselor. He wants to use me just as much. I think sometimes something we do as Christians is we kind of relish in what we have. We relish in that joy Christ gives us. We kind of leave that peace for ourselves, and we kind of forget that there's so many people out there that want that. They want peace, but they don't know how to get it. And we can share that with them. We have that. And God wants to use us to do that. We have a huge opportunity waiting for us in our everyday lives. There are people who are hurting, and we can share that with them. And Christ wants to use us to do that. A verse that was in my mind every single day, for sure, was Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I would just challenge you to live every day seeing people as Christ does and love them just the same.
Thank you for that testimony. Elizabeth and a host of other counselors out at West Coast did a tremendous job as young people came from not only around the country but around the world and did a tremendous job. Needless to say, it's been a busy summer, but it's been a great summer. God has blessed in a huge way, and let's go ahead and stand for invitation at this time. You say, how in the world can you have an invitation after a service like this? Well, I guarantee God is speaking to not only the hearts of teenagers, but to maybe many of your hearts as well. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse number 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. God's given us a great task ahead of us. Think about 7.7 billion people, many of them lost and dying and on their way to hell. First, may our prayer be, God, if you want me to go, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. And I hope you'll pray for these teenagers. Many of them, as they're taking the next steps in their life, as the pianist begins to play, I hope maybe some of you will come and say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do with my life, but if you want me to go somewhere to serve in this capacity, please show me. Maybe you want to come and pray for these teenagers that God would concrete these decisions that they've made in their mind. Whatever God's spoken to you about, let's bow our head and close our eyes. If you feel the Lord leading you to come, you come at this time.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always on. Take my love, my God, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever.
Even as there are those here at the altar, I'm going to ask Bobby Brown to come back up. And he's going to make some comments, and then we're going to close our service in prayer. And when we pray tonight as he closes, would you come, some of you, many as you feel led, find a place around this altar to pray for the pastor God would want you to have. That's very key. Thank you. You may be seated for a moment.
Yeah, you may be seated. Get a double dose of me tonight. Oh, we won't spend a lot of time, but I am coming to you tonight on behalf of the pulpit committee. And as what we have shared with you thus far has been a lot about the process. How do you get prepared? The work that it takes to really put in place a process to call a man to be chosen as the pastor of this church. Where we find ourselves now is we have some of those prospects. And as we begin to engage them, I want to share with you a pulpit committee covenant that is really threefold. It is a covenant amongst us together, the 15 men that make up the pulpit committee, which are the deacons of the church. It's a covenant amongst us, and it's to each other. It's also a covenant that is between the pulpit committee and the congregation, which is you. And as well, it's also a covenant between the pulpit committee and the prospects. And I think as we walk through this, and we're not going to spend a lot of time, but as we walk through it, you'll understand why it is threefold. First and mostly important, there is prayer and commitment. We pledge to pray daily for each other, for each member of the committee and his task in this process. We will pray to seek God's will for our entire church and its ministries, putting our individual perspectives aside. Every single one of us and every single one of you have certain preferences and things we like, things we don't like. We have to set those preferences aside, seek God's will, and choose exactly what is right for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We specifically commit to maintain the utmost confidentiality. Confidentiality regarding all search discussions and correspondence. This is crucial for a couple of things. Number one, when words just get out, people speculate, and it just, you know, and one thing is said to one person and it's taken, and you know how it goes. That's the common sense part of it. Another part of that are some of the prospects we may speak to have churches. And we would do nothing to hurt one of those churches. There's a particular man we speak to, and he says, you know what, the Lord is not calling me to be part of that. Or we share with him, the Lord hasn't called us to ask you to be part of this. It is not fair to that church for that to go on. So confidentiality is crucial. And then it sort of seems to go without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, we commit to conduct our search thoroughly with trust and integrity. No backroom deals, nothing on the side. Every man knows what everything going on. And we will absolutely honor that. The next piece of this is the accountability. We will be accountable to one another in a spirit of servanthood for tasks assigned to us. There's a lot of work. And there's a lot of stuff to be done. And that's sort of our commitment to each other. That if we are responsible for getting something done, that we go get that done. We will be accountable to each other and the congregation. And we'll seek God's will for the entire church body rather than our individual wills. I've already spoke to that just a minute ago. One thing that I have been very encouraged by is the fact that we had some folks early on talk about the importance of being transparent and communicating to the congregation. We're going to continue to do that. So our communication says we will strive to be open with our ideas and opinions, respecting every member of the committee and working in the spirit of Christ to resolve differences when they arise. So not only are we going to be communicating with you on a regular basis, and we talk about that in the next line,
but we're going to be talking amongst ourselves. And we're going to be open communication. If somebody has a question, they're going to voice it. And then we're going to prayerfully work through those differences, because guess what? Everybody's not going to agree on everything. But buddy, and I say buddy because that's how I talk to my kids sometimes. But when the Lord brings a group of people together with a common goal, those differences get solved through prayer and a lot of effort. We will seek to communicate clearly and regularly to each other and to the congregation. And then last, I'll wrap up with this. We will honor and respect all centers of influence and pastors with whom we communicate by maintaining confidentiality now and in the future. And I'll just stop right there 1 second. The centers of influence, these are folks that are well known to this church and to these to independent Baptist ministries that know people all over this nation. And so we have reached out to some of those and said, hey, you know, who's getting the job done out there? Direct us in that role. So they will share some stuff with us about particular men, and we were going to maintain their confidentiality as well. Church, this is a guideline of a covenant that that really is. It's between us as the 15. It's between ourselves and the congregation, and then it's between ourselves and the prospects. So as we move forward, these are the principles that are going to guide us. And we seek your prayer, and we do very much seek your prayer. So let's stand, and yes, Fair Booth workers meeting in the blue room. So if you're part of that, don't forget that, Fair Booth workers meeting in the blue room. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you've given us, Lord. We thank you that you have bestowed such a heritage on us by this church being around 240 years. And Lord, I pray that as we embark in this next step, that you prepare hearts, you give clarity of mind, you give unity, and you allow us to choose just the right man. And Lord, I pray that as you work in our hearts, that your word will continue to go out, even while we don't have a pastor, that your word continues to go out, that people continue to be saved, and we continue to be a light in this community for you. I pray that you will bless the efforts. I pray that you will give us wisdom, give us guidance. And Lord, be with this day as we come upon this celebration next week. It is not a celebration of what man has done. It is a celebration of what you have done. And Lord, give us a day that we can look back on and say, this day brought honor and glory to God. I ask all these things in your name.